turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. There's no better one to follow than our Lord Jesus Christ. He lays things out the best. Just impressed with the Lord this week about this passage. Here in Luke chapter 6, our Lord Jesus has chosen his disciples, and he's healed a man going around healing on the Sabbath. That thing that they accused our Lord of, and he chose his apostles out of his disciples, the group of his disciples, and he's building his church as he's walking here on the seashores of Galilee and in Samaria, in Judea. In this account here, as we're going to be heading towards verse number 20 in this chapter, it's very much akin to the Sermon on the Mount that we see in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. We don't know if we take the markers that are in the Gospels and try to line up the time. It's not the same time. In Matthew, after the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is accounted. It chooses his apostles then. Our brethren are not, we're not obliged in any way to tell every single thing in chronological order. So it could be the same account. If it is a different account and a different time, when our Lord is preaching this message, it should hammer home the point to you and me that we need what God has said, what our Lord has said over and over again. The Scripture says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, is the way that we learn and retain what our Lord has said and are convicted by Him of His Word and convicted of Him, I pray, to take and bring that good Word to our lives. Our Lord's going to talk about a few different things here. He's got a handful of subjects, and He's speaking to us. He's speaking to us as children. He's also speaking, I think it's can be seen and understand in this, that those that are without Christ do well to hear what the Lord says. Again, it's the last verse of the congregational song, the last congregational song that Brother Stephen led us in. You know, there is no way to face eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you are not equipped. We are not equipped to face eternity and for there to be a good and a blessed end. And so we pick it up here. Our Lord Jesus, we could gather from chapter 7 that he's just outside of Capernaum, his new headquarters. He's raised up in Nazareth, but in his ministry, he made Capernaum his headquarters, it seems like, returning there often. And his ministry starting and beginning there in Galilee, and many things taking place at Capernaum. He returning to Capernaum. Our brethren, the apostles that he had chose, some from Capernaum, some from Bethsaida, just down the coastline from Capernaum. And in this place, in Luke chapter 6, verse number 20, the Scripture says, "And he lift up his eyes on his disciples and said, 'Blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven.'" And, you know, that's what we are in and of ourselves, is very poor. We have nothing to offer the Lord. We have no strength and no ability to approach unto the Lord. It's by the good blessing and word and calling of the Lord that we are made to understand our sin and our need and to see the Savior. And He's done that for us, and we praise His name for it. He's given us His kingdom. We know His kingdom is in existence even now, and you know what? That's the kingdom that we hail from. That's the kingdom that we hold to. I'm glad to be a U.S. citizen, and I'm thankful for our country, our nation. Thankful to be born here. And I'm thankful to be an American citizen. I am. It's a blessing. We've got many ills in our country and many things that are dishonoring to our Lord, and we pray that the Lord would work and change those things and turn us back to Him in ways and things that would be honoring and glorifying to Him. But you know what? My primary kingdom that I belong to is that of my Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's over this kingdom, this nation, the nation of the United States of America. You know what? Anything that He does regarding us and laying His hand upon us as a nation, it'll be good. It's for our best. And I pray that we would not be found as a nation to go against Him. In the ways we have gone against Him, that we would turn from those things and repent of them. But you know what? The poor the Lord has been very gracious and merciful to. He's given us his kingdom. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. You know, in the Beatitudes, there in Matthew chapter 5, we see more of these blessings of our Lord. And it does outline the way it is with the sinner that is saved and how the Lord takes and brings us along. Not so many mentioned here. Do you hunger for the Word of God, child of God? Do you hunger for His Word, for what He has said? You know what? He can fill us. He is that water of life and that bread of life that will cause us to thirst and hunger no more. You know, we chase after the world and the way of the world and what makes sense to us naturally. You know, well, there's always going to be a lacking there. It's always going to run out. It's never going to fill. You know what? Our Lord Jesus fills. He fills. Ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. It's hard in things of life, and we have great blessing here in our country. We think about the saints and those that are martyred for the sake of the Lord and how they gave their lives. Those are described in Hebrews chapter 11 there after the great blessings and the victories of the Lord. Those that had victory and the giving of themselves and suffering hardship for the sake of the Lord, for His Word. Going about in sheepskins and goatskins. I've never wore a sheepskin or goatskin in my life. I've never been destitute or afflicted. He says, they that weep now will laugh. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we see our Lord face to face? You think we'll be going around like a mule eating briars and have the mully grubs and all sad sack and that? I tell you what, I think we're going to be grinning and smiling and rejoicing in our Lord, aren't we? Laughing, praising Him, glorifying Him. He's called us His children. He's called us His friends. And I tell you what, when you have a get-together now, if everything's in decent harmony in the family, you have a good time, don't you? What will it be like then when we're with our Lord and we rejoice and praise Him? Blessed are ye, verse 22, when men shall hate you. We have mentioned about this in times past. You know, the Lord Jesus is very honest with His children. It's not really, you know, anybody that's looking to recruit somebody into an effort. Colleges look to recruit high school students, graduating high school students, maybe that are good at some academic or they're good in some kind of sport or whatever. And boy, they give them the best pitch that there is. The Lord Jesus Christ, He tells us what's honest and what's true. He says, there's going to be those that are going to hate you. We see that in the Scriptures with the apostles, the disciples. Listen to this, and when they shall separate you from their company. That's always been something that stood out for me. There is that happens. Brother mentioned about that recently. He wouldn't join in the dirty jokes at work, and he wouldn't join in the drinking that would go on of alcohol and such as that were maybe at company events or whatever. And he may have made the statement that when it came time for putting together a softball team, they didn't ask me. Think about the Jews that were saved in our Lord's day, in the day of His ministry. Those that were there, part of His church. You know, when they followed Christ, their families considered them dead. You know what our Lord says? Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company. They want to back off. Want to back off. And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He says, rejoice ye in that day. What's He say? And leap for joy. You know, I've maybe seen one Baptist leap for joy. But our Lord says, leap for joy in that day. You know, when things have, in a light way, have happened this way to me, I've not leapt for joy. I need to. That's what the Lord said. He said, leap for joy. You think about the things in your life that caused you to leap for joy. You really got excited about it. Our Lord says, be more thankful and more joyous about this. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did unto the prophets. He said, it's always been that way with my people, with my children. And then the blessings that we see in these previous verses. But we come to hear these verses, three verses where the Lord says, woe. And you know, it's one thing for me to say woe unto you, or you to say woe to me. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Savior, the King of all, King of kings and Lord of lords, when He says woe unto a person, I tell you what, that should be an attention getter. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Abraham was a rich man. The Lord's not talking about a rich man that's just wealthy. Remember and understand in the Gospels where the Lord describes about the rich man that went to hell and Lazarus that went on to be into Abraham's bosom. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he trusted in his riches. And that's what the Lord is speaking about here by context of other passages. Woe unto you that are rich and trust in that wealth. Like the man that was given the talents and the pounds that the Lord described in those accounts, he trusted in the earth. He buried his pound. He buried his talent in the earth. We're to take this world and the things that our Lord gives us and the blessing that he bestows upon us and whatever degree that it is, and we're to take it and use it for his honor and his glory. And not trust in it, but trust and rest in him. He says, that's the end. For ye have received your consolation. You've got what you wanted. You that are trusting in riches. Woe unto you that are full. For ye shall hunger. Consider how it's going to be with the children of God in glory with the Lord. Our Lord says that there's going to come a day where he's going to have a supper. And he's going to gird himself and serve us. Wow. And think about those in hell in the lake of fire, how it's going to be with them. There'll be no dining there. There'll be no rejoicing there. He said, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Brother Stephen's brought out about false prophets. Brother John warns us about the spirits that are at hand and the false prophets at hand that we need to try with the Word of God. There's a great woe unto them. You know what? Our Lord says, and you know, we're to be friendly. We're to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. We're not to be an offense. Jim Duke is not to be an offense to any person. I don't want to be an offense because of me, because of my person. Lord, forgive me when I do and when I have. I don't want to be. You know what? When folks are offended because of what the Lord has said, that's between him and them. We represent him. We won't if we stand for the good word of God, and we're not to be insightful. We're not to go out and look to stir people up, but we'll go out and tell them the truth and tell them the gospel. Tell them the salvation is found in our Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And if that's an offense to them and they do not speak well of us, then that's between them and the Lord. But if all speak well about all things, then we are to be warned. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers. They spoke well of the false prophets. You know, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus came to do, and so much that's not preached about hell and the lake of fire and about the need of repentance of sinners, of their sins, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that is an offense to natural man. Because we don't want to be told that we're wrong. But the very coming of the Savior tells us that we are wrong. We're at fault. We are guilty. We don't want to be told naturally. We don't want to be told when we're cross with the Lord and His Word. We don't want to be told those things. And it will be if we stand for the Lord. The Lord tells in other places that he that will live righteously will suffer persecution. It's a guarantee. It doesn't use the word might. But we need to look to our Lord in those things as his children. Verse number 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. I don't find that easy and natural to do, but that's what I'm to do. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smiteth thee, or smacks you, or punches you on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us? He's telling us everything that he did. That's all. He's going to tell us later on in this passage that we need to be and we are to be like him. If a servant is really the servant of a master, a servant, it's meet, it's suitable, it's right for the servant to be like his master. Our Lord Jesus Christ and came and went to Calvary and suffered the things that he did, the contradiction of sinners against himself, the scripture says, and he did that for me. And if he would do such a thing for me, who am I to change the way of the Lord that I should follow in? Oh, but that's a fight and a struggle, isn't it, with this old man? I want to take an enemy and I want to keep him an enemy. I want to keep my eye on him. And I just as well just throw some salvos over his way that he'd just stay away from me. I mean, that's what I naturally want to do. But the Lord says, love him. Our Lord has loved us. And we indeed were his enemies. He says, do good. Those that curse, pray for them. You know what? If you have an offense, a fault, an offense by someone towards you, you know, you'll find it very hard to think ill and badly and poorly towards them if you will pray to our Lord for them. It's a great help. It's a great solution to that quandary that we deal with. You've got somebody that's bugging you, I tell you what, pray for them. An enemy, a brother or sister, pray for them. Pray that the Lord will change. You know, pray that the Lord will help them. Pray the Lord will help you. I might be wrong in the thing that I'm bugged in. I may be the one that needs to be changed. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Verse 28, bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat. They took the Lord Jesus Christ's clothes. They gambled with them, over them. He says, if he'll take your overcoat, don't forbid him to take your jacket too. Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee. And to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. He said, don't look for being requited, paid back. You know, we deal with that. Our church is blessed to be very benevolent. I think we've got some things that we have in place to hold down abuse. I think that the Lord's blessed in the way that he's helped us to understand about help those that have a need and have a request for help in need. I think that there's cases, and it'd be hard for you to know, some of our family has seen it, as we've gone, someone would have a need for food or whatever, and we take up a collection, you give of yourselves what the Lord would have you to give. We go and buy those groceries, we take them to them, and by the abundance of that, we've got a built-in control by honoring what our Lord has told us to do, that those that might be shysting, I think I've really seen on more than one occasion, have been ashamed. There's nothing better. There's nothing better for our Lord to work that way. Their needs been met. But if they are being shysty in some way, and I always tell them the church has given to this effort out of their pockets. I always tell them that. I always witness to them about Christ and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And when they do ask, we need to give. Not looking to be paid back again. You know what? You know who will take care of us? Our good Lord. Has he not? He's done it, hasn't he? He's done that. And praise be to his name. He's good to us. And as ye would, verse 31, that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. The golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's simple, isn't it? We need it simple. I need it simple. As I would have others treat me, I need to treat them. Our Lord says here, he says, think about this. Here is a a spiritual point. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye? And we are blessed. We love one another, don't we? And we're to be a help to one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a fellowship here, and we're to be good to one to another. The Scripture tells that in aid and help, that there's a priority in the household of faith. We're to do that. That's supposed to be there. But our Lord says, in dealing with the world, if you love them which love you, what have you really done? For sinners also love those that love them. Clarity. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. That's the way the world is. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You help me, I'll help you. And we do that one for another. The Lord gives gifts, Lord gives abilities, and one thing I'm sorry at doing, and you help me, and maybe a thing I might be a little better at doing, I might help you. There's nothing wrong with that. But as we deal with the world, what is it that the Lord's really paying attention to? He said, if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? How representative of me is it? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. Might not get the same thing, but they get something in kind. Our Lord is telling us, and he's speaking here to his disciples, speaking to us. He said, I want you to be beyond that. I'm looking for you to be like me. And that's what we as his children need to do. Our Lord says in verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Let it go. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. See that? Children of the highest. You want to be known as a child of the world? Or you want to be known as a child of the highest, a child of God? Man, that fella, that gal, you know what? They are resting and trusting in their Lord. They may not say it that way, but you know what? They are always looking to their Lord for everything. It's a witness. It's a good witness. Love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Because here's the way the Lord is. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Wicked and evil, chasing after sin and the world, my own way. You know what? The Lord still loved me. Called me, brought witnesses to me, blessed me with parents that were a good witness of Christ to me. That's the way he's dealt with us. We naturally don't want anything to do with our Lord. You know what? He doesn't quit on his work, does he? He doesn't say, what a sorry lot, I'm done with them. He doesn't do that. You know what? As a brother mentioned there this morning, and I appreciate the Sunday school lessons about eschatology and these things that are coming at the end. Good outline of these things as we understand them the best we can. We look forward. We may live in a generation and a day that some things will be done that'll make some things click for us. It could be. It seems like we're near the end. But our Lord, He tells us here that He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He has done that. If our Lord was not unthankful, or was the other way, not kind, he'd take his churches right out of here. There will come a day he'll do that. But you know what? He's had his churches and his people here for 2,000 years. What? Saying, repent of your sins and believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is kind, didn't he? He sends forth that message through his people. Be ye therefore merciful, verse 36, as your Father is also merciful. Grace is described, favor is described by giving that which we did not deserve. Mercy is described by not giving us what we do deserve. And he is merciful indeed. Verse 37, here's something that can make us scratch our heads in Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is, verse number 1, something that's just wore out, one of the most popular verses in the Scripture, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Our society and culture operates on that. Don't you tell me what I ought to do. Well, you know what? We personally have no basis to tell anybody what to do. I mean, we're to raise our children and operate our homes following the principle of the Lord. But an aspect that's missing here, about judgment. See, understand, God has said everything that you and I need. Morally, worship-wise, service-wise. He's given us everything that we need. You know what makes it right? It makes it right because He said it. What God has said is the truth. What our Lord has given up to us is the truth. And you know what? The Scripture tells us we need to, as a children, and especially we in His church, we need to judge ourselves that we follow along what the Lord says for us to follow. You know, that way the church doesn't have to get involved and administer some of the Lord's chastisement upon us. We need to take care of ourselves. So we do make judgments. And how do we make our judgments? By our opinion? No, by what the Lord has said. But there's another aspect of judgment, and that should be done. That needs to be done. You know what? If I murder someone, it's very right for you to say, that is wrong. You are to make that judgment. If I take the Lord's name in vain, there's not a thing wrong with you saying that that is wrong, because God says don't take His name in vain. But here's the other aspect of judgment. When you think about a judge, what does a judge do? A judge makes a determination about what's happened. The other aspect is a judge metes out the penalty. We are not penalty meter outers. That's some bad English, but you understand. What the Lord has said applies to us all, and we can understand and know we're not to be condescending, we're not to look down our nose at others, we're not to be respecter of persons, but we can say that that is an offense against God. This whole transgender confusion thing, that's what they're saying. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Well, God says it's wrong and wicked and evil. But we are not their punishers. The Lord will take care of that. And you know what? I pray the Lord will be merciful and show them their sin and show them their wickedness as He has me and you, and bring them to repentance and save them from that mess. And that's what we should do. That's the way it should be. That should be our desire. Listen to what it says here in verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. See, the condemnation, the damnation, the punishment for sin and disobedience is the Lord's. Vengeance is His, and dealing with wickedness and sin is the Lord's. We're to be a witness to all men, and the standards of the Lord we should hold to, first for ourselves, He's going to speak about that, and to, as we look on to others, but we are not the condemners of men and women. We don't determine their punishment. Our Lord went and ate with sinners and publicans to be a witness to them. He was not a partaker of their sins, but He said to the woman taken in adultery, and that was just a whole mess. They didn't bring the man. They brought her. And the Lord said, where are your accusers? She had no man, Lord, and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So a stand against sin should be the stand of the people of God, especially the church of the Lord. We're involved in that rebuking of the world of sin and judgment, and sin and judgment and righteousness. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And we are to be a forgiving people. Forgiving people is our Lord. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Listen to this. I think about a bushel basket and some kind of loose kind of grain, you know, maybe, or something that's kind of fluffy. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press it down. Okay, I remember Mom, she would make biscuits, I think it was, and you get the flour. You know, you could take the flour and you could pack it down in that cup, and then when you made biscuits that way, you had too much flour, it's going to be a mess. The way you did the flour is she would sift it and put it in the cup and strike it off, and that was the right amount. It was fluffy. But the Lord says, not with biscuits, but in our generosity, shake that thing down. Pack it down. Get as much in there as you can. Be generous. Be hospitable. You know, our Lord has been. See, it's all descriptive of Him. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured unto you again. It says in the Old Testament, cast your bread on the waters. After many days, it'll come back. Because our Lord honors those things, and that's the way He is, and it's worshipful of Him. He spake a parable unto them, verse 39. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? You and I can't lead one another. There's no man that can lead another man to a good and right thing. We just don't know anything. We need one to lead us that knows something. We need one to lead us that has an eternal perspective. We need one to lead us that knows what He's talking about. Because men leading men. We've got a world of religion today. More religions than you can shake a stick at or can number. Blind leading blind. Blind men leading by their own philosophy and their own opinion. I tell you what, we need something. We need someone out of this world to lead us. Someone that's not blind. Someone that can give sight. Someone, as we looked at not too long ago, can shine the light. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, can the blind lead the blind? They'll both fall into the ditch, won't they? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect, mature, growing, shall be as his master. You know, you are called, child of God, to be like your Savior. Now, what do you spend time on? Being like the world, following after your own design, your own brand, or to be like Christ? Everything He's described is to be like Him. It's the way He's been to us, and that's the way we are to be. But everyone that is perfect, everyone that is mature, that's what that word means, shall be as his master, to follow after our Lord. He's called us. He saved us. He paid the price for us. We're not our own, the Scripture tells us. We need to follow Him. And then he says here about hypocrisy. We're subject to it. It can just happen to us. It's this struggle we have with the new man and the old man. We know some truth of what the Lord has said, and we've got this old man that is here on our back and drags us down, and we can listen to that, or we can listen to the Lord. We got a warfare within. He says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is on thy brother's eye? Little bitty speck. Just a little bitty speck. It's just very small, but you see it. You and I see it, and it really bugs us. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? I think about a railroad tie coming out of here. You go up to your brother, you're going to help him with the mote, and you're whacking him on the head the whole time, beating him up. Don't even know it. Don't have a clue. Got this thing out of my eye. Don't even know it. Pow, pow, bang. Hold still. I'm trying to get that out. You keep hitting me over the head with that thing. It is extreme, because it can be so unobvious to us. And I think that's the reason the Lord is making this extreme comparison. You don't look at the beam that's in your own eye. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not? You don't even see the beam that is right there in your own eye. See, the beam is in the eye. How do you see? With your eyes. He doesn't say the beam is coming out of your shoulder. He said it's right there, what you're looking with on your brother, to see that little speck in his eye, that little mote in his eye. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. That's pretty strong language, but we need it. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then you can go merrily on your way. You know what? We're to be a help one to another in a right way, in a good way, according to what the Lord has given us. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. I think about Brother Paul and Brother Peter. Brother Paul being at Antioch, Brother Peter coming up and being there, he had no problem then eating with the Gentiles until the Jews from Jerusalem came and he separated himself from the Gentiles. A brother called him on the carpet on it. Brother Paul, I think, acknowledges that it was right to be done. Other things that are spoken to us about that. But an example of that, we do need to be a help one to another. Sometimes I can't see what's going on with me, and I need the help of my brothers and sisters in a right and a good spirit to show me what that is. Don't be a hypocrite. Our Lord hates the way of the hypocrite. The Lord's quarrel with the leadership of His day is that they command things for the people to do and don't touch it with one of their fingers. Wouldn't even look to lift one of the things that they told the people to do with their fingers. The Lord goes on to say here about fruit. A good tree, because a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs. You don't get figs out of a briar bush, do you? For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes. It's just not the way, it just doesn't work that way. For a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Principle, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. I tell you what, our mouth gives us away. Our mouth gives us away. And we need to add, we as the children of God, we need to add to our faith and manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Pin this old man down. Follow after our Lord. Look to be like Him and follow Him. Tell you what, walk with Him. Learn of Him. You hear me say it over and over again, but I tell you what, it's a thing that we need. It's a thing that we need. What is it that remains? Charity, faith, and hope. Love for our Lord. Love one for another. Love for the sinner. Faith in our Lord to help us to accomplish the things that He has given us to do in the way. You know what? This whole thing that our Lord's described is impossible for us to do. It's impossible. For this old man, this old flesh, it'll wear out. But you know what? It's possible for the new man to do it. And our Lord will give us strength. We talk to the Lord. We visit with the Lord. We fellowship with our Lord and petition Him for the help that we need. Lord, I want to be like You. I want to do these things You've given me to do. Not throw up your hands and say, forget it, and it's just no use, it's too hard. Oh, it's going to be difficult. But you know what? How will our Lord be glorified? Following what we want to do? That's already been proven to be a disaster. But following what our Lord has given us to do will be the place, the epicenter of blessing. We give ourselves away with our mouth. May our Lord help us. Verse 46. Listen to this. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, I've read this verse for years, and I hear it. I hear the Lord speaking, and my disobedience. Understand what he's saying here. You are calling me a name that indicates your submission to me. How about we just call him Jesus instead? That is his name. But he said, if you call me Lord by the very name that you are using to address me, which he is our Lord, you are admitting that you are to be submissive to me in every way. Why do you call me Lord? if you don't do the things which I say. I don't think he's saying don't bother. But he says, do understand the hypocrisy of it. Do understand the short falling short in it. He is indeed our Lord. And we've got in our culture, our nation, we've got bosses. You work for different ones, different companies. You have a supervisor, one over you. We've always got somebody over us. Ultimately, the Lord is over us. And he says, if you acknowledge my true position and the name that you address me in, then why do you tromp on it by not doing what I say? Jesus did what the Father gave him to do, didn't he? Perfectly. He's our example. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Is our Lord presenting a work salvation here? By no means. Sinners are not saved. Sinners are not forgiven by what they pay, what they do, what they commit to. We have nothing to offer our Lord. Understand the beginning of what our Lord says is, come unto me. The beginning of the Lord's ministry was repent of your sins and believe the gospel. And so what the Lord says at the heart of it, at the point of it, is representative of what the declaration is to mankind. Lost, undone mankind is, you need me as Savior, and you are guilty in your sins. He says, I'll show you how it is with those that hear what I say and do them. I'll show you who he is like. We ask the question here, how will your house stand? Everybody needs to ask this for themselves. How will your house stand? The house of your life, the house of your soul, the house of your existence. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. He built on the rock. Oh, he did some building. But you know what? He built on something that was outside of himself. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently, the storm of life, the storm of death, the oppression and the contrariness of the world upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you want to know what this is all about? You want to know why I'm telling you this? You're building a house. And who are you building it on? He goes on to say in verse number 40, but he that heareth and doeth not, he that hears what I say and doesn't follow it, doeth not, is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth. I mentioned earlier about that man that got the talent, man that got the pound, and went and digged in the earth. He trusted in the world. He trusted in himself. He's trusted in not what the Lord had told him to do, not what the king, not what the master had said to do, abide till I come. But he trusted in himself. He trusted in the earth. This man built a foundation upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. I want you to listen. And the ruin of that house was great. A great ruin. Today there are souls, there are people that are dying without Christ. And into hell they're going. It's happening even right now. This world is huge, and the population of this earth is huge. And people are dying right now and going into hell. They don't have Christ as Savior. Indeed, their ruin is great. Their ruin is eternal. But there are people dying too that have the Lord as a Savior. And you know what's happening for them? Things just got better. They may have had a blessed life on this earth and obedience and service and following the Lord. But you know what? The storm of death and the end of life comes. And because of their Savior and what He's done for them, they believing what He said and trusting in Him, repenting of their sins, the Lord saving their souls, it just goes on and gets better. How will your house stand? How will your house stand? Child of God, are you being obedient to your Lord? Sinner, do you hear the call of the Lord? How will your house stand?